make a big noise playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place. Singing, we will rock you. We will.
Oh, yes. Welcome to In the Sports Booth. My name is Moises Linares, and I'm here with my friend and co-worker, co-host, Mr. Victor Corona. How you doing, Victor?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here, man. Have you been keeping up with all the sports going on right now?
Yeah, man. It's been a crazy weekend.
Let's talk about, you know, let's just get into it, dude. Let's not even waste any time. Let's talk about the Olympics and what's going on. There's a lot of action. Like I was telling you, there's a lot of action going on, and let's talk a little bit about what happened today with the U.S. defeating France. Important game for the U.S. just to establish that rhythm, to come out and say, we are the best, we are going to bring the, we're going to bring home the gold, and we're going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, well, it was pretty interesting to see it this morning and them getting out to, you know, a big lead against, you know, some of the players from France, like Turioff and Parker. So a good showing from the U.S. today, man. It was good to see that.
Now, you know, the U.S. after this victory, they moved to 16-1 all time. I think that says a lot. You know, after that 92 team that came and destroyed everything that was in front of them, you know, now these guys who are some future legends, some future Hall of Famers like Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, who just won the NBA championship. You know, they have to come and do their own thing. But, you know, that comparison to the Dream Team makes it a little bit difficult. You know, it's hard to keep pace with a team like that.
Yeah, you know, it's been flowing around, you know, the last couple of weeks about, you know, especially when Kobe got asked about if they can compete with that 92 team. And, you know, like I've been telling people, it's a whole different dynamic now with these players. They're so athletic. And then another thing that I think, you know, we have to think about too, about that 92 team is they were the pioneers. They didn't get to face a lot of competition, and now a lot of these teams are. I mean, I was just reading a stat where I think it was like 60-something NBA players are competing in these Olympics. So, you know, they're going to have a lot of competition, you know, with France and Spain. And
I agree.
Yeah, you know, so it's hard to go back. You know, they're different generations, but, you know, you have to give them their due. You know, they don't have much size up front, but, you know, they're really athletic, especially with LeBron.
11 Hall of Famers in the 92 team. And I know this has been a topic, you know, it's kind of getting boring, same thing over and over. But let's put it in your opinion. If you were supposed to choose a winner, who would you choose?
I would still go with the 92 team. It's sad that, you know, we don't get to see their front line, like, you know, players like Griffin and Howard and some of the guys that are injured right now. Or else, you know, I probably, you know, say they, like Kobe said, you know, I could see them beating, you know, them in one game, winning a series in seven games, but, you know, they have a shot to win.
The funny thing about that is that in the Olympics, there is no seven-game series. It comes down to one game. So when they say we could beat them in one game, basically it's saying we could come out and beat them. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Obviously, they want to downplay it now after all, because you have 11 Hall of Famers saying, you must be crazy.
Right. I mean, you like I said, there those are pioneers, you know, but, you know, you can get a good five there with LeBron and Kobe and, you know, Durant. I love Durant. I love the way he shoots. You know, he's a great shooter. But like I said, who's they're saying, oh, well, who's going to guard Magic? Well, you have LeBron. He's 6'8". You know, yeah, who's going to guard Michael, you know?
Different styles.
Yeah,
I mean, you gotta also look at what basketball was back then. It was an evolving sport. I mean, when you're talking about worldwide, it was a sport that it was just coming up. And now you have competition is a little bit tougher nowadays.
Right. I mean, look at Spain. They have the Gasol brothers. They have Ibaka. They have Calderon. I mean, I wish Rubio was playing. I mean, if you remember 4 years ago, that Spain game, you know, that gold medal game against Spain, it was pretty close.
It was a tough game. It's always tough. Even in this friendly match, they, you know, they stay around. But now when you have players that are hungry like LeBron James, who has something to prove. And unfortunately, Blake Griffin couldn't make the team after that injury. You have a bunch of guys who are hungry to show the world that the U.S. is still the dominant country when it comes to this sport. I mean, we can't say the same thing about every other sport because it's something that is not happening.
And yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, everybody has their opinion, but with, you know, soccer being the worldwide sport right now, you know, basketball's coming up. You know, I can see them, you know, becoming the number two sport in the world, you know, pretty soon. I would never say that they'll overpass soccer, but the way, you know, and you have to give a big thanks to, you know, big props to David Stern for growing the sport globally, because that he's done a great job, especially in China. It's huge.
I would say that they're number two already.
Yeah.
I think football, soccer, because we only call it soccer here, but in the rest of the world, it's still going to be football.
Right.
You still have basketball. It keeps growing, but it is number two. I mean, I can't see any other sport competing for that second spot. Worldwide, soccer is going to keep dominating the world, but coming as number two, you have basketball coming strong, really strong, with people like Kobe Bryant and LeBron James being that image of most liked athletes around the world. But now that we're on the topic, today we had one of the most historic wins for a small country down south of the United States. Honduras upsetting Spain 1-0 in a win that someone already saying, I heard there's going to be a national holiday tomorrow for Honduras. After that 1-0 win, Spain is out. You have a Spain team that came winning. They won the Euro Cup. They won the World Cup. And they just won the Euro Cup. But let's not confuse the fact that this is an under-23 team. This is not the national team. Yet again, it is Spain. And when you compare it, if you have, I think the goalkeeper, De Gea, is worth more than the whole Honduran national team all put together.
Hey, you can't take anything away from Honduras. They did a great job today. And like I was telling you earlier, you know, during our production meeting, I saw a stat where, you know, the last time that Spain lost in group play, they got eliminated before, you know, they weren't able to move on, was in 2001, and I think it was their under-17 team. So it's a big, big upset.
Oh, the media is eating them up right now. They're calling a penalty that could have been. It wasn't called in favor of Spain, but the referee was kind of shaky the whole match. So it's not an excuse to say that that's the reason why Spain did not win or get the equalizer, because they did try from all angles. They hit a crossbar, two posts, and it simply didn't go in. And sometimes in the sport, that happens. You know, it's one of those things where you don't get it. You know, it doesn't go in for you. You're unlucky. And that's how soccer is, unfortunately. And today, Spain didn't only lose their second match. They're going home after only two games in the Olympics. And they came in as number one contenders for that gold medal. And obviously, now we have Brazil, who is looking strong. They have a good, solid squad. This squad has been preparing not only for the Olympics, but also for the World Cup. And we also have our neighbors from down south, your country, your boys.
Yeah.
You were born here, but your boys.
Yeah, you know, I have family in Mexico. So it's a good win. You know, they beat Gabona 2-0. You know, but it's still early on, like you were talking about. The favorites are still the big countries, you know, like Brazil, you know, the powerhouses, you know. But they have a chance. They have a bunch of players that won that under-17 title. So, you know, with Dos Santos and a couple of the other guys. So,
who scored two goals today, by the way.
Right. He's been, you know, although he doesn't get to play a lot in, you know, Europe, he's been doing well with the national team. So that's good to see from Mexico's side. And so they just have to keep it going, and we'll see, because they tied the last game. So hopefully with this win, they're able to advance. And
Mexico is solid with 4 points, and basically a tie would put them in, and a win will probably secure first place, which is good for Mexico. You want to finish first. They were that top team. They came out as ahead in the group stages. So that validates that, qualifying as a first-place team. But also another team that has disappointed today was Uruguay, who lost 2-0 versus Senegal. That's a big upset. And it kind of tells you that in the Olympic stage, there's not really those giant names could fall down at any time. And that's what happened today.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that. I've seen in the Olympic Games where some of the African teams, they do really well. And Do you know why that is?
there's certain rumors, which I don't know, but I've heard that some of the players are a little bit older than what they should be, but that's never been proven. Actually, I haven't. It's just one of those rumors. Obviously, you have those African teams that are always hungry. They come and they develop well through the youth system. You know, they compete at the U17, U20, and U23. You know, how you have Cameroon, who has won the gold medal in the past. And these countries are always competing. But my favorite part, you know, out of everything, my favorite part is always that goal celebration. They go to the corner and they have a little special dance. It's like every country has a different dance. You're like, oh, okay, that's what I'm talking about. There's a little rhythm that you never see before. So it gets really entertaining. We still have a lot of competition left. So therefore, you know, we got to keep waiting and see what's going to happen. Obviously, every country has a game left. And then we're going to see who finishes in first, who finishes in second. But staying on the Olympics, let's talk a little bit about swimming. How about your boy, Michael Phelps?
Wow. You know, coming in, he was going to struggle. You know, it's one of the quotes that I always think about. You know, I listen a lot to Max Kellerman, and he talks about how one of the boxers was saying that, you know, it's hard to get up in, and, you know, when you're sleeping in a silk pajamas, you know, because and try to go run 5 miles. It's hard when you get to the top and you win 8 gold medals and try to get back again. And, you know, he's got a lot of competition with one of his fellow, you know, swimmers. And I just don't see it. He doesn't have that hunger, you know. Not
Mr.
everybody.
Ryan Lochte.
Right.
Mr. Gold medal, Mr. 400 meters, who came and smoked them by, like, I think it was 4 seconds.
Yeah, and Phelps barely qualified for that one. So, you know, it's going to be a tough goal for Phelps this time.
It's crazy because you would think Michael Phelps would want to keep making history. Yet again, it seems like he's kind of, you know, he's content where he stands at the moment.
Yeah, and it's not for everybody. Not everybody can, you know, live up to that, all that hype. You know, talking about hype, you know, even the gymnast, She is already, you know, done. So that's going to be, you know.
Of course, I get what you're saying. The thing about Michael Phelps is that, you know, not a lot of people know that this is the first time he does not win a medal. The last time was in Sydney, 2000, the Olympics in Sydney. He was, I think, 15 years old, one of his first Olympics. And that was the last time he did not earn a medal, which is kind of surprising because when you think about Michael Phelps, you're thinking gold, minimum silver. And, at you know, this time it's not even bronze. So you kind of start thinking, is this the end? You know, are we seeing the end? And, you know, we see that with a lot of the athletes around us nowadays.
Right.
You start questioning, is the end coming for this guy?
Yeah. And, you know, it's I'll keep going back to it. You know, it's tough, you know, especially for someone like Phelps. You know, you're only competing, you know, what, once every 4 years in the Olympics. And so you come in with all that hype. I even read somewhere where one of the girls that was on the volleyball team, you know, during the last Olympics in Beijing, you know, she went up to him and he said that he was Mr. VIP and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, I know that doesn't have a lot to do with it, but, you know, all that hype could, you know, can get to you. And I think it you know, he's not the same guy he was, you know, with 8 Olympic gold medals and all that.
I would agree with you. Yeah, that seems like to be the case nowadays, that you get a little taste, you get a little gold, and you get greedy.
Right. And
you're not hungry. You're not as hungry as you were before.
And that's it's tough to stay on top. You know, that's the hardest thing to do. You know, as you know, the hardest thing to do is once you win something and you become a champion, you know, it's coming back and being able. That's got to be the toughest thing to do is to defend something. And he's getting a lot of that right now.
You know what? Let's move on and let's talk a little bit about, you know, the home team. Our team, you know, that team that makes us so angry, that has made so many of their fans upset because it took so long to actually start seeing the change. And now when you walk around the ballpark, and I'm not going to tell you what ballpark that is at the moment, but once you start walking around it, you could see it. You could sense there's a change in the atmosphere, something that we had lacked for over 10 years, I would say.
Yeah, it's been a while. You know, it's good to see the Dodgers, you know, competing again. You know, it's been a couple of years. You know, during the Manny Wood era, and and, you know, seeing Matt Kemp and Ethier and Kershaw and all those guys back at it again, especially now that they're healthy. That's the big key, is the fact that they're healthy.
And talking about the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers have been headliners for about a week or so, or even more, because the Dodgers have just acquired in a trade Hanley Ramirez, who has, you know, he came in, they called him midnight, said, hey, you're going to the Dodgers. Packed his bags. He was here the next day, played, produced. What do you make of that?
That shows a lot. You know, he was known for having like a bad attitude when he was in Miami. You can't blame the guy. You know, he played in one of the worst stadiums, you know, Sharkland Stadium, Joe Robbie Stadium, whatever it was called. But when he comes in tomorrow, he's going to see way different. How, you know, it's going to be nice for him to have at least 30 to 40,000 people, you know, fans, you know, supporting him. So it's going to be big. It's a big acquisition.
Drastic. It has, because as soon as he came in, you know, the Dodgers noted that change. And not so long ago, the Dodgers were heading into a slump where they were losing easy games. They were losing one run games. And, you know, fans were saying, are we going to go back to the bottom again? Are we going to start seeing that after a great start to the season? And now you have this guy who comes in, you know, he faces the Giants, the enemy. He hits it out the park and leads the Dodgers to victory. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he, especially that Friday game, you know, they went into extra innings and he came through with a big home run, you know, that in it, even when he got here, you know, when he got to St. Louis, his first at bat, he had a triple. I mean, he contributed that first game. He drove in the first run, and then he scored the other run. So he's been big. He's a big bat, and I'm pretty sure the Dodgers are not done. I know. I was listening to the radio today, and they're saying that they're looking to add another pitcher and another bat. So.
There's some names going around. Yeah. I hear Ryan Dempster might be the guy. What do you think about that? Is that going to happen? Is that a rumor?
No, I think it is a rumor, but I think it is going to happen. You know, he's indicated that he wants to be a Dodger.
Explain to people why he gets to make that choice, because a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know the fact that Ryan Dempster has the ability and the option to choose where he wants to go.
Right. Well, what happens is that, you know, you become he's a 10-5 player, which is he's played 10 years in the league and he's been with the same team for 5 years. So that's a 10-5 rule there. And so he could kind of chooses where if Chicago comes to him and they want to trade him somewhere, he has the right to veto or go wherever he wants. And he's already. So the Dodgers are sitting pretty right now. You know, they can just sit back till 4 o'clock on Tuesday and wait for the Cubs. You know, the only problem, the only concerning thing would be if the Cubs try to add Soriano to the package. But, you know, the Cubs have been on about trying to get some top prospects from the Dodgers. So they're just holding on. If it's not Dempster, I'm sure it'll be that, you know, knowing that Coletti, he needs to get a lot of credit.
What does this team need? What do they need to reach another World Series? Because it's been too long.
Yeah,
these fans have been
since
patient.
1988, and it's been
exactly.
A while, you know. They need another pitcher, you know, especially since they traded Ubaldi in that Ramirez trade. So right now they had a five come in and step in, and he did a good job. And then you got Lily in the minors right now rehabbing, so he should be back soon. But they need someone for right now. They just need another. If they're able to land Dempster, you have that three with either Billingsley, Kershaw, and Dempster, or you can even use Capuano, who's actually been their ace, you know, for the majority of the year, because he had, you know, he was like 10-3 at some point. So he's been really good. He's another guy that kind of surprised. But
could the Dodgers make the World Series? What do you think?
Wow, it's gonna be tough, man. You know, the one thing is that they, you know, with the National League winning in the All-Star game, they get the World Series. I mean, they get the World Series at home. So, you know, looking at some of the other teams, you know, looking at from the West, looking at the Giants, I think the Giants will. I think I have the Dodgers and the Giants making the playoffs. You know, with one winning the division and the other one going in as a wild card. And then you have, I think, from the Central, you'll probably have the Reds. And the Pirates, man, it's good to see the Pirates doing well. It's been about 20 years now since Barry Bonds left. They haven't made the playoffs. They haven't even had a .500 record. That's how bad they've been for 20 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
And the East, the biggest surprise, one of the teams they're going to have to keep an eye on is the Washington Nationals with Bryce Harper, Strasburg. You got a bunch of young players there that are hungry, and the Braves, they've won like five in a row now, so they're ahead on the wild card right now too. So those are going to be some of the teams. You know, if you're the Dodgers fan, you're just glad the Phillies are not even close, because they've been their nemesis.
They've been a nightmare for a few years. They've been the reason why the Dodgers didn't go to a World Series. In case you're wondering, you're listening to www.SkidRowStudios.com. This is in the sports booth. I'm Moises Linares, and I'm here with Victor Corona. And if you've noticed that this guy knows his stuff, it's for a single reason, because he is a baseball expert. This is what he does. This is what he loves. And talking about Victor and talking about baseball, why don't you tell me a little bit about your project, the thing you've been doing? A lot of people will probably never in their life get to do what you're doing, and that is visit every ballpark in the country.
Yeah, man. I started it a couple of years ago. It was something my love for baseball. You know, it was my first sport. My grandfather introduced me to it, and it was one of my tributes to him when he passed away. I was trying to take him to see the Dodgers. He never got a chance. He, you know, most of his life he lived out in Mexico, so he had a chance to come by visit us, and I tried taking him, but his legs were a little bit too weak, so we weren't able to take him. So that was one of my after he passed away, that was one of my goals, is to go and travel the U.S. and go to all the ballparks. So far, I've been to about 15.
Which ones have you been to?
I've been to all the West Coast, from Safeco to San Diego, the two L.A. teams, San Francisco, Oakland, the Rangers, Colorado. And this year, earlier this spring, I went to Chicago. I went to the two Chicagos, and I went up to Milwaukee. So
tell us a little bit about which one is your favorite, and what have you seen that's different in each stadium or in each ballpark?
Wow, that's a good question. My favorite one, I would say the best one, it has to be San Diego, Petco Park. It sits right next to the ocean there. It's just a beautiful. The one thing you have to appreciate about baseball is the fact that most of their stadiums are open, and you know, especially being right there in San Diego with the nice weather, the stadium the way it's built is just beautiful. You're able to, wherever you sit, it's great. Another thing that you have to keep in mind is the food.
The food is, always.
You have to go out there and talk about.
You can't compare food, though, because I believe the Dodger dogs are probably amongst the number one.
Right. Yeah. But they're in the top.
I would say number one, number two. If you don't like the Dodger dogs, then I would suggest you walk outside the park. You walk downstairs and there's these ladies who sell hot dogs.
Right. Yeah. The LA dog, right?
With the
bacon and all that. Yeah, man. It's great. You know, that's one of the other things you have to appreciate about that. And like you asked me about the fans, one of the best fan base is Atlanta. The way they pump up the crowd and everything, going out there, it was great. It was a good experience. I would tell people go and do that. It's good to get out there and appreciate all those ballparks. And every you know.
How long when did you start this project?
I started about 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Right. I started with the first one I went, besides Dodger Stadium. I've been going to Dodger Stadium since the early 90s. And the first trip I took was up to San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah, I just felt that was the one that you have to take as a Dodger fan. You need to go out there.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah,
and you know what? That's another one. That one's right by the bay too, and it's a beautiful ballpark.
How many do you have left, and how long do you think it's going to take you to finish?
After this next trip that I'm taking, which takes me to Detroit, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, I should have about 10 left, because I have to go back to Miami because they just opened up a new ballpark.
Nice.
So I have to go back to Miami. I have.
It's always nice to go to Miami.
Right.
You know what? Make a detour going to South Beach.
Right.
There's this club, Mango. Definitely check it out. Well, I mean, if you have some free time, I'm going to guess you got to need something to do at nighttime. So that's a good suggestion right there.
Right. Yeah, but I'll just use that as an excuse to go out there.
Definitely. That's a great project. And once you're done, because at one point you're going to finish. So what is next? A book? Is this a dedication? Does it end right there?
I want to do some writing with it, you know, talk about everything, talk to some people, and just go over my experience. I don't know what it's going to turn into, to be honest with you. I just want to do something with it, you know, share the experience. A lot of people have done it, but I want to add something different to it, you know. My plan is to end with the East Coast teams in New York and Boston, and then go
They're
to
pretty
the
close to each other. That's a good advantage. You know, when you compare that to the West Coast, you know, where the cities are much spread apart. In the East Coast, you have about 6-7 cities that have ballparks, and you can hit them 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hour distance, which is great.
Right, and that's why. I mean, and it helps financially, especially since you're doing it all from your own pocket. So, you know, that's the great thing about that. It helps out a lot.
Great, great. Now let's keep talking about baseball a little bit, and let's talk about one of the rumors, comments, whatever you want to call it, questions. Some people say San Francisco, LA, biggest rivalry. Some people say Boston and New York, biggest rivalry. What do you think? I mean, I would personally, after you give me your opinion, your comment, I'm going to tell you how I see it, but go ahead.
Well, I'm going to go with the Yankees and Red Sox just because of the history that they have. Number two would be the Dodgers and the Giants, and then number three would be the Cardinals and Cubs, just with all the rivalry for all those three series. It's just the fact that you have that much history. I mean, I can go and tell you stories about, you know, the whole Bambino, you know, curse with the Red Sox, right? And then you have Jackie Robinson getting traded to the Giants, and then he retires right on the spot right there. So there's a lot of history with all those rivalries. You can go 1, 2, 3, whatever, but you know, those are the
agreed,
top three.
Now this is the difference. We could say this, actually it applies to the season. There's a difference between the rivalries. You have a Yankee Red Sox rivalry that is one-sided up to this point. You have the Yankees competing, you have the Yankees on top. While on the other side, you have the Dodgers and you have the Giants competing for first place. I think the Dodgers are one game behind right now.
No, actually, they're tied right now, which was big for them right now because they just swept the Giants. They were going through a rough stretch right there.
Three-game series?
Yeah, and they went on this 10-game trip and they came back 7-3 and they were able to sweep the Giants. So that was big for them. Now they come home, you know, and they host Arizona and Giants. So the next 2 months is going to be big. And
yes. We have two great months to look forward to before the postseason, before it gets really, really heated. But, yeah, like I was telling you, up to this point, I think that's the difference maker. This season, I would say the Giants and the Dodgers rivalry has been more up to date and more up to par of what is expected between the rivalries. I do not know what's going on with the Red Sox. That team is falling apart. And what was once a championship team seems to be dismantling, going down again, while the Yankees keep, you know, producing, keep getting better. And they're going to, I personally think they're going to compete for the World. They're going to be in the World Series. I think so. Everything goes well. They're doing great. Obviously, just hit a slump against Oakland, but it's pointing that way.
But you got to be careful with, keep an eye on the Rangers and the Angels.
The
Rangers, you know, they have those big bats. You know, they might not have the pitching right now. One of the things actually talking about the Angels
and the Rangers
is that the Angels just acquired Zach Greinke, who the Rangers were in position to get. And pretty much the only reason the Angels got him was just to keep him away from the Rangers.
Yes.
So now they have a formidable rotation with Weaver.
You would expect the Angels to compete every season because of the amount of money they're spending. They're spending countless amount of money. And, you know, I don't know if they're spending around the same amount of money the Yankees are, you know, has spent in the past few seasons. But obviously is up there. And that, you know, that makes you a contender whether you like it or not. And if you don't perform, I mean, we can't really say much about that. But obviously we know the Angels, they have a strong team. They have Pujols, who is heating up again. which is dangerous for anybody.
Right, and then they have Trout. I mean, that guy has been sensational. He's been, you know...
He scares me. I'll tell you that much. That guy scares me.
He's incredible, man. He's had quite a rookie season so far, you know, and with him in the lineup, they just need to... They got shut out the last two games, but, you know, they should be back soon, and with Pujols in that lineup, you know, they need to, with the money, like you said, with the money that Ari Moreno is putting into that team, they better start producing. One of the things, though, that I did notice that was kind of disappointing from some Angel fans is that they weren't showing up to some of those games, especially last weekend against the Rangers when it was a big series and you see a whole bunch of empty seats, you know.
That is disappointing.
You know, you want to go and support, especially, I mean, there's no excuse to say, you know, well, there's a lot of things going on in L.A., but that there is, you know, but you need to go out and support your team, you know, especially if they're putting in the money, you know.
Great. Let's move on and talk about something that's about to start soon.
When you hear that tune,
you know that people go crazy.
Yeah, especially here, you know, and especially with fantasy football and, you know, we don't have a team here in L.A., but, you know,
people... It's about that time. You know, people are already preparing.
Yeah, training
camps. The fantasy leagues are about to begin.
Right.
People are thinking and studying who are they going to pick up this season. I'm not into fantasy, I'll tell you that much. I think it makes you root for the people you don't like, so I definitely stay away from fantasy.
Yeah, well, it helps out, you know, it helps out the viewership with football fans, you know, that, yeah, it does. You know, you're kind of conflicted with, you know, some of the players going up against your team, but it's great. It's helped out the NFL a great lot.
So who do we have contending this year?
Well, you have the same teams. You know, you got teams like in the AFC, like the Patriots, you know, the Ravens,
always,
the Steelers. You know,
as long as you have Tom Brady, you're gonna compete.
Right.
You're gonna be a contender. You're gonna make the playoffs. That's expected from a guy like Tom Brady, who basically is right beneath legend. I believe once he's done, he's gonna be up there.
Oh yeah.
But you have other guys who also want to compete, like a guy who's going to be back this season, a guy we miss, because when you follow football, football's not the same without Peyton Manning, whether you like him, whether you don't. Some people like him, some people hate him. Same thing as Tom Brady, just that, you know, Manning is a more social guy, and he has a real hard task ahead of, because coming from neck surgery is not...
Well,
not just any kind of surgery.
I mean, that, like you said, neck surgery. But he's had three neck surgeries, and that's going to be something tough, especially with a team. You know, everybody's picking them to win the AFC West, but, you know, you got to be careful with that, because you still don't know how he's going to look, how he's going to take a hit. And then that team, even with Tebow ahead of, you know, in charge of that team late in the year, you know, he was able to take them to the playoffs, and that was great. But how is he gonna do with that defense?
And how is he gonna react after he gets hit? And I guess everybody's still waiting. Everybody wants to see that. Everybody wants to see, is he gonna get up? Is he gonna be okay? Obviously, nobody wants him to get hurt, but it's a possibility we don't know the answer to yet.
Especially,
and we have to wait and see. Especially when you have monsters like Harrison coming after you.
Right, and you got football is a big contact sport, and so you're going to get hit, and you're going to take your lumps through the season.
I guess it's one of those stories where we're going to have to wait and see, but before it happens, we're going to take a look. We're going to follow him. We're going to examine every move he makes. This whole week was about Peyton Manning in camp, you know, looking great, but obviously he has that red vest on that says, you know, no contact. He's playing safe right now, but obviously in a matter of weeks, we're going to see what he's really made of. Is he the same Peyton? Is he going to be the same great guy? Could he lead the Denver Broncos to a Super Bowl?
And you know what? Talking about Peyton Manning, it must be tough for to be his little brother. I mean, he does have two Super Bowls, and yet his big brother is getting all the attention.
Exactly.
So, you know, that must suck, you know. But like you were talking about.
When you have to live in the shadow of somebody who has less rings than you, but is considered greater.
Right. You know, and it's tough. And he's in the biggest market in football in New York, you would think. And he's still not even – he's still being overshadowed by the Jets. So.
Not only that. To that, I would add the fact that some people don't think about the notion and the idea that he's been the only guy to defeat Tom Brady in two Super Bowls.
Right.
How crazy is that?
Exactly. Something his brother couldn't do.
Who else is going to do that? When I think about it, I don't see anybody ever doing that again.
No.
Tom Brady has demolished, destroyed anybody who's he faced, and he faces Eli Manning, and he loses twice. I wonder how he feels when he thinks about that.
Yeah, and when he goes into the Hall of Fame, he can thank Eli Manning for not having five Super Bowls. But, you know, it's going to be a great season. I'm sure everybody's looking forward to it. You know, the one thing about football is that everybody, you know, at the beginning of the season can, you know, you have high hopes for your team. You think, you know, they can make a run.
The experts are making calls. They're making choices. They're telling you this is what's going to happen. Sometimes, you know, they get the right, you know, they pick the right team, but sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. People get injured. You lose a player that is probably crucial to your team, and that changes everything, and that's what happened with the Colts.
Yeah.
From one day to another, Peyton was hurt, and, you know, the Colts had a terrible season. Awful.
Yeah, now they have Andrew Luck, and that's what happens. And, you know, the one thing you have to take into consideration is that, you know, football from year to year, it changes. It, you know, the teams change. And with that, you know, you have different teams making the playoffs. You know, everybody was hyped up about the Eagles last year and they didn't even make the playoffs.
We're also being considered contenders. Once again, you have Michael Vick. You don't expect anything less from a guy like that. He wants to show that he has what it takes to lead the Eagles deep down in the playoffs. I don't know if he could get to the Super Bowl, but obviously we know he has the talent to do it. But moving on from that topic and staying on the NFL, what you and I were talking about was, can New England go undefeated? Can they go undefeated? They were so close. Can they do it? What do you think?
Well, they have an easy schedule. I mean, it doesn't get any much easier than facing, I think, what was it, four playoff teams from last year, you know?
Yes.
They got the Ravens. They have the San Francisco. So it could be a possibility. That San Francisco game might be, you know, to stay undefeated late in the season. I think it's week 15. So, that defense needs to step up for them if they're going to make a run like that. And they put a big emphasis on defense in the draft. So we'll see what happens, but they have a shot. You know, will they get to the Super Bowl? That's a whole different question.
They will face Denver, so that means Tom Brady and Manning are going to meet up one more time for what could be a great game, because every time these two guys face each other, it's, you know, there's fireworks coming out. Everybody wants to know, everybody wants to see what's going to happen, who's going to take over. Two of the greatest players we've seen in the last decade, face-to-face, going back to New York, but not to the Giants, going back to the Jets. We have another dilemma right there. We have Peoplemania has shifted from Denver all the way to the East Coast. Now we have to decide who's going to take the leadership role. And the thing is that we know Sanchez is going to start, but the debate is when they get to the red zone, Tebow's a killer, Sanchez has struggled. What's going to happen? How is Sanchez going to react when they tell him Tebow's taking over?
Well, Sanchez better let him, you know, take over the offense in the red zone, because he was terrible last year. I mean, and with Tebow coming in, he's able to run, you know, and pass and stuff in the red zone. So I see him taking over in the red zone. But that's about it. I mean, that's going to be Sanchez's team. He's looked great in camp from what I've been hearing. Tebow's going to play some special teams and maybe some wide receivers, some fullback, special packages for him. But that's about it. I know Skip Bayless goes on First Take and talks about how great he's going to be and how he's going to take over for him. But I just don't see it. You know, Sanchez is going to lock up that's, you know, he's going to stay for the whole season. And he's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he leads them back to the playoffs again. But, you know, Tebow's going to be great. He's going to be great for them. You know,
the thing about Tebow is he does attract a lot of attention, but he's always been a team player. You know, he says he's going to play wherever he's needed. Can we expect the same thing from Mark Sanchez? Is he willing to turn in that role? You know, everybody wants to be the superstar. Nobody wants to give the ball away when it's your time to shine. You know, we have people like, let's see, there's a comparison between Kobe and LeBron where, you know, Kobe is going to take that last shot. You know, he's the leader of the team. It's his team, and that's what he thought the Jets were to Sanchez, and now it seems like here comes Tebow, and you're going to have to give him the ball because we think he could score the points we need to win the games.
And you know, when it comes to football, you know, they always talk about it, you know, we'll do anything it takes to win, and that's the way he needs to look at it. You can't go in there and thinking, you know what, it's my team. I took this team to two AFC championship games, and, you know, and that's it. But, you know, Tebow, you know, as much as you want to criticize him for not being able to throw the ball, and he the guy's a winner. You can't take that away from him. And the way he motivates some players, I mean, that guy has a lot of heart. And so, you know, you have to give him a chance, especially if they're going to bring in some packages from him, you know. And, you know, and especially it's going to eat up a lot of clock and help you out with the ground game. So that, you know, they need to look at that, and so does Sanchez.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And you know what? It's going to be a great season. And you know what? Right now, we have to simply sit down, you know, count the minutes that are left and see what's going to happen, because I'm as excited as ever to see Manning come back. I'm rooting for the guy. I want him to do great because a lot of people think he's going to fail, and I hope that he proves that he is a legend for a reason. And what more than a guy who's fallen down and counted out and traded by the team that he built, you know, that stadium, that's Manning. That's Manning City right there. And obviously, you know, it's all business. We know that, you know, business comes first, but at the same time, it's kind of hurtful to see a guy like that leave when you thought, you know what, this guy started there, he's going to retire there, and now he's on the move, and he's on there. He's no longer a Colt. He's now a Bronco. And, you know, we have people rooting for him. We have people rooting against him. So, let's see, let's wait, and let's hope that, you know, it works out for him. Wish him the best of luck. Moving on, I know there's a topic we both like. You know, there's a sport we both like, and there's an interesting fight coming soon. A very interesting fight that we've talked about. Sergio Martinez versus Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Right.
Which will light it up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm a big boxing fan, and you know, to see Sergio Martinez take on Chavez. I mean, yeah, he has his dad's last name, you know, to go with. So that'll be great to see Junior go up against Sergio Martinez, who, you know, he's coming down in weight, right?
It seems like we have a caller. Let me get our analyst who I'm surprising you with. All it's right. One of the guys that I've worked with in the past.
Yes, that's right.
This is one of my good buddies, Mr. Ruben Arias.
That's right. That's right, Moises.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm right here, you know, making this happen. And you called in right at the perfect time because we're talking about Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., Sergio Martinez coming soon. What do you think about that, buddy?
It's going to be a great fight. You know, Cesar Chavez Jr. has been trying to, you know, I called him out in his last fight. He said, you know, I'm going to put you where your mouth is. You shut your mouth, and you know, let's make this happen, and let's get this fight going, September 15th, and it's going to be a good fight. You know,
A lot of people are not recalling what happened months ago at the beginning of the year when Martinez promoter said that at any given good day, Junior was not in the top 10 and that he couldn't beat Andy Lee. And we saw what happened after that.
We did see what happened there. He took him out. He took him out really good. He just showed his body punches like his father, Cesar Chavez Senior, and he showed he was ready. He's ready for Sergio Martinez.
Great. So, guys, gentlemen, predictions. It's getting close, actually. September 15th. It's a big day. You know what? It's even a bigger day because it means something to Chavez Jr. And Maravilla Martinez wants to prove that he could beat him on his day, which is, it's Mexican independence. Not only Mexican independence, it's also Central American and a lot of Latin American countries celebrating Independence Day. And that's going to be in Vegas, so we're going to wait and see on what could possibly be the fight of the year. Victor, what do you think?
Man, I just see Martinez, you know, imposing his will on him. You know, I'm not a believer in Junior. You know, I know he has his dad's name, you know, last name, and he's been great lately. I know he's only had, you know, a draw, but I just don't see it, man. Martinez has been dominating for a long time now.
Ruben, what do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm gonna go on the other side. I'm gonna take Chavez Jr. I think he's ready. I think those body punches can get and stop Sergio Martinez, stop his momentum, and he's got a reach on him too, and he's got that height. And I think those body punches can wear on him and slow him down, and just wear him down over the fight. He's gonna pressure him, stay close, or even he could even step out and use that reach and hit him with those power punches, his combinations, or like I said, just take it to the body and just pound that body and slow him down. Could be 12 rounds. It could be 9 rounds. TKO, maybe for Chavez Jr., or go 12 rounds to see a great fight that everybody would want to see and they'll pay to see.
You know what? You're right on that. And I'll tell you something. I wasn't a believer. I thought that Chavez Jr. was kind of dodging the fights, dodging Martinez. But once he came out and said, you know what? I don't make the calls. You pay me the money. I'm going to fight. So if he wants to fight for the money, he's going to have to take the man himself, the righteous owner of that belt, because he is the champion. That belt was stripped away from Martinez, and now we have a real championship fight between, for me, the best two right now in that division. And you know what? This is what Martinez wanted, and it has to be now or never. Like the Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather fight, if it doesn't happen next year, you know what? Might as well kiss it goodbye, because we don't want to see two old men fighting, and obviously both of them are aging, so it's time to get that going as well. And I know that Ruben and I have spoken about that. The time for those fights is now, because boxing needs them, especially with all the positive testings that are coming out. You know, we need to see some strong fights to clean boxing again.
Yeah, and it's a shame that we don't get to see that as much in boxing now. You know, it's getting, you know, tainted with a lot of controversial stuff going on with Pacquiao and Mayweather. And so we need some good fights in the fight game, you know, especially with the UFC coming up now. They're doing great, you know, and Dana White does a great job with that. And I think that's one of the things. I've been talking to some boxing people, and they're saying, you know what, we need a commissioner. We need to stop letting promoters handle, you know.
I agree.
And that's what needs to get done.
And Ruben?
Yeah, I agree, Victor. You know, UFC is, you know, they're on Fox. They're on, the pay-per-views are always selling, and you know why he always calls out on boxing on his Twitter. He makes fun of them or takes shots. And I agree, good fights. You know, I live out here in Chill Valley, and I'm here in the Bradley. You know, I talked to some of them and the trainer, but there was some controversy there. We know Pac-Man won that fight. You know, you can review the tapes, you know, over and over. 9-3, he won the rounds. He beat him. But, you know, clean up the judges. I mean, that Jerry Ross is a good judge. I go, I just didn't know what he was looking at. I go, he's better than that.
I didn't know what he was looking at. I was confused myself. I reacted in a way where I almost fainted. I was watching a fight with around 100 people, and people were yelling because, you know, there's money involved. So when you lose money like that just out of nowhere and in a fight that Bradley never won, it's kind of questionable. You start thinking, what's going on behind the scenes? And even though people try to, you know, they try to put smoke up and say, you know what, it's nothing. It was a mistake. But obviously, you know what, let's be realistic here. There's things that we don't know about. And obviously, three judges cannot be that wrong.
And you know what? Honestly, it does help the sport, though, because we keep talking about it. As much controversy as it goes through, we keep talking about the sport. So in one way, they're actually doing something right, because people keep buying those pay-per-views.
The thing that's unfortunate is the fact that, you know, promoters are managing the fights. They're the ones who want their fighters to fight each other. So you rarely see two promoting companies going against each other. That's why you see the Top Rank and Golden Boy having so much problems, because they want to pull that money one side. And it's been the thing that has been keeping big fights from happening.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that, you know, everybody wants to see Pacquiao and Mayweather. Let's make this happen. Cut the shenanigans out. Let's make this happen. Let them get trained. Put on a good fight. People pay for these fights. They pay $50, $60. And even for HD, they pay $65, $70 for HD. You got to make this happen. If we don't make it happen, let's get something else going. You know, like we already have, like you said, we have Chavez Jr. and Sergio Martinez. September 15th, that's going to be a great fight. Everybody wants to see that. But make this Mayweather-Pacquiao fight happen. Everybody wants it. The public wants it. They're going to pay for the money. There's going to be record pay-per-view buys. Give the people what they want. to give the public the demand that they want.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk a little bit NBA. Let's talk a little bit about what's going to be coming next season. We have the big man himself, Mr. Dwight Howard, who could possibly be coming to Los Angeles. We don't know yet because he's been a diva this time. He can't make up his mind. He wants to test the free agency market. What do you think? Does LA need Dwight Howard?
Right now, I just don't see it. I'm in the minority. I like what they have in Bynum. You know, he fits right in with what they're doing. You know, I just don't see it. And one of the things you have to keep in mind with the whole Dwight Howard, you know, rumors is that Mitch Kupchak has always, when he makes a deal, he makes it with the Gasol, with Nash. He's always, you know, kept it under wraps, and he strikes. And this thing just seems a little, it looks like the trigger comes from Orlando, because they're trying to get some picks, and they're trying to get, you know, trying to push the rumor out there. But I just don't see it. I see Bynum staying. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Reuben, will the Lakers be contenders this season coming?
I think so. I think the acquisition of Nash, getting him for practically nothing, giving him some draft picks. Yeah, Orlando wanted those draft picks, but I just don't see. I see him coming. I see Dwight Howard coming. I think it's a possibility. I think it's 50-50. I think it's still. Sources are saying that he'll sign the extension, or even if he doesn't, the Lakers were still going to try to would take him. They would trade for him. And I don't see Orlando getting anything else. I wouldn't go and do the Cleveland deal because Varejao. He's not. That's not Bynum right there. You know, if they do a straight up trade, Howard for Bynum, that's good right there. I don't see Orlando. I know they're kind of dropping the ball and they're playing chicken and waiting and saying we're going to trade him. We're not. We're going to try to work it out with him. But Howard's already said he doesn't want to stay there. They'll embrace him in L.A. If the deal happens, L.A. will embrace him. I know that he's been a little mature about this trade and what he wants to do. But they're the favorites. If they get him, the Lakers are the favorites in the West and win the title. They are contenders right now with Steve Nash and the acquisition of Antoine Jameson off the bench helps out. Solid scorer there. But this just elevates them. They're still good with Bynum if he stays, but they're even more. It's even more higher now as contenders if they get Howard.
What happens to the rest of the teams, guys? What happens to OKC? Will they make the finals one again, or is that it for them?
No, they're a young team. I mean, they got a little taste. Every year they've gotten better. You know, they've taken the next step, and so I just saw on Twitter that Kevin Durant came out and said that he's expecting Harden to resign, and then Harden kind of came out and said the same thing. So they're going to be a team to look out for at least another 2 years, you know. They're going to be a hard out. And then you have the Spurs, you know. Those guys just keep coming back every year.
Are they too old? They seem to be old, man. I don't know. I think they have an expiration date coming soon.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
they can't you can't underestimate the Spurs because they're a talented veteran team. But yet again, age does play a factor.
Yeah, and we can say the same thing about the Lakers, but we have to keep an eye on those guys too. And then you have the Heat, and you have teams like Boston, who just reloaded again. You know, they're gonna try to go for they're gonna try to at least keep this team together for another 2 years. So there's about six teams. You know, that's the only bad thing about basketball with the NBA is that you have about six or seven teams that can contend every year, and that's the sad part about it.
What about Miami? Are they going to repeat?
They'll be right there. I think they have a good chance, but that center position, I don't know if they go up against someone that has a center for say like Bynum or Howard, if Lakers have them, that could pose problems for them. OKC didn't have that. They didn't have an inside game. Ibaka wasn't good enough. Perkins wasn't good enough to pose a problem there. And, you know, Harden didn't step up either. I know he's going to resign. Say he's going to resign, but he didn't step up. He hurt the Lakers.
He is the sixth man for a reason. He's not in the top five. He's a sixth man. People forget that. You know, you think that he's a star player, but he is a supporting player, a very important one that basically he went missing in the finals. I expected more from a guy like that. You know, he played well the whole season, and when it mattered more, he disappeared. Now you have Miami, who is still hungry. You know, LeBron James does not want to win just one ring. He wants two. He wants three, like he said, right?
But
the
like
famous
we,
speech.
But like we talked about, it's hard to get to the top. But having to defend a title, it's very tough. So it's going to be interesting to see how these, you know, teams do. The schedule's out, by the way. You know, there's some good matchups there. So, you know, we still have a lot of time to look forward to the NBA.
Moving on really quick because we have a few minutes left. How about Jeremy Lin to the Rockets, Ruben? What do you think about that?
That was kind of a surprise. I was kind of surprised that New York didn't pay the luxury tax to keep him. I think they kind of made a mistake. Sandy was taking off to New York, and he couldn't really prove himself. He got hurt at the season-ending knee injury. That kind of slowed him down. That hurt their playoff chances, you know, maybe be competitive against the Heat. And I think they made a mistake. I just think that maybe that brings life to Houston. You know, they had him before, and then they had to let him go. And I think it just helps them. I think they could build with him.
Did the Knicks make a mistake by signing Jason Kidd?
A little bit. I think a little bit of age caught up. I think they could have used that money towards Lin.
Driving drunk.
Right. In the Hamptons.
Dinosaur. The guy is good. I'm not going to lie. He is one of the greatest players that I've ever seen. But I believe his time is up. And I don't know. I don't know what the Knicks are planning to do with the guy. I don't know if he's going to coach. I don't know if he's going to be an assistant. I have no idea.
Well, according to Raymond Felton, they just got the best point guard in the league. He came out this week and said that after Rondo said
that. That's an interesting statement. Ruben.
Yeah.
Before we end this show, I want to talk to you about something. Did you know that tomorrow it's a national day in Honduras? National day. It's going to be a holiday. Everybody has the day off because they beat Spain. 1-0. The mighty Spaniards have fallen, and now Honduras is celebrating 4 points. Now they get to play Japan for the first spot. A win will basically put them on top, avoid Brazil.
In the middle round, that's good. You're in the middle round. You're right there in the quarterfinals. That's a big accomplishment for them. You know, they got to they've been progressing as better, you know, and they shocked the world. I think that's probably the talk of the Olympics.
It's great because we have Honduras representing the area, CONCACAF, and we have Mexico representing, and they're both doing great. This is the first time Honduras has scored more than, I think the last time they scored a goal was in the Sydney Olympics, if I'm not mistaken. And this time they have four goals, I believe, and doing great.
I know we're short on time, but my question is to you. Have any Central American countries ever advanced past in the Olympics?
I'm not sure. I believe Honduras might be the first one.
That would be a great accomplishment. So.
And that's the first time. And that's the first time in Honduras history. We got 10 seconds, Ruben, before we go.
Yeah.
Before we go, I want to thank you, Victor, for being part of the show. Ruben, look forward to having you again. See you guys next week. This is In the Sports Booth. See you guys next Sunday at 6.
Thanks for having me, man.
From afar.